All right. Thank you, Lord. Exciting. Well, good morning. We're glad to have everybody here. Those watching online. We don't want to forget. We do want to recognize that this is Memorial Day weekend. And we do give honor to all of those and remember those who have lost their lives defending our country. And so I know every family in here probably has connected some way in someone losing their life. So we do give them honor. We do remember those. Amen. I'm so excited about today and about the word that we have for today. And so let's just see what the Lord has for us. Amen. And then that way Brandon can go camping. And Miss Patty getting ready, the paddy wagon getting ready to head out. So, all right. Well, I want to set the stage for my message by first looking at a portion of Scripture for which Brother North touched on last Wednesday night. And this is from Acts chapter 5, verse 17, beginning with verse 17. Would you follow along with me? Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. Now, you know they were called Sadducees because they were sad, you know. And laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. Now, this wasn't down in the dark part of the prison. This was up in full view of up where the public could see. But here's what happens. The angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, "Go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." And I like what the NIV says, "this new life." That's what it says. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they were with him, and called the council together. And all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found found them not, found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, "The prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within." Then came, verse 25, "Then came one and told them, saying, 'Behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people.'" I want to talk to you this morning for just a little while about a subject that I don't believe I've ever taught on in great detail. So I want us to look at then another verse of Scripture, which will be actually my foundation Scripture. It's not a verse about worship. It's not a verse about praise in the general sense. But it's a verse about what we could call a cause and effect. A cause and effect relationship between what you say and what happens in the heavenly realm the moment you say it. And the cause and effect relationship it describes, listen, is so powerful, is so immediate, and so directly connected to your daily speech that once you see it, I believe we will understand why the enemy continues to work so hard, so overtime, to keep our mouth filled with words of fear, words of doubt, words of complaint, instead of the Word of God. So the verse that I want us to look at is Psalms chapter 103 and verse 20. Single verse. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. The last five words is my title, the voice of his word. So as we look at this scripture and what it reveals about the connection between our words and the movement of heaven, this one verse could very well be one of the most practically transformative truths in the entire Bible. So as we unfold this one verse, now I'm using the word unfold. I had thought about using the word dissect, but now Brother North brought some memories to us last Wednesday night when he used the word dissect, and he gave us a word picture of that sweet little frog being cut open in science class. Now, all I could think about was that big old jar of earthworms, and you unscrewed the lid and that odor of formaldehyde just hit you right in the face. And so I remember calling them night crawlers, Brother Gary. They were huge. That's what we fished with. And of course, they were too big to fit on the little perch hook that we used. And so what did you have to do? You had to cut it in pieces. And I didn't have scissors. So what did you do? You just squeezed a piece off. And everything inside came out with it, you know. And you put it on your hook. And it was those same fingers that you reached down and got a Vienna sausage with, you know. And you didn't have anything to wipe your hands on, so you used your pants leg. And it was those same pants legs that you put a little handful of Fritos on. And so when the fish stole your worm, you repeated the process all over again. So cut the piece off, put it on the hook, wipe your hands, grab you another Vienna sausage, and eat your Fritos. But we're not going to use the word dissect this morning, okay? So I don't want you to think of those things. Anyway, they're good memories, good memories. So as we unfold this one verse, let's put it that way, word by word in the next few minutes, my hope then is that the full revelation of what it says becomes so clear that we cannot leave here the same way that we came in our understanding. Okay? So I want us to see exactly what happens in the unseen realm every time a believer opens their mouth and speaks the Word of God. Also, Psalm 103, verse 20, could very well be the most neglected power verse in the whole Bible. Why? Because it tells the believer exactly what activates the angelic realm on his or her behalf. And it's not a prayer in the way of most people think of prayer. It's not good intentions. It's not silent meditation, nor hoping things are going to work out. Things don't work out by hoping. So here it is. It is the spoken word of God coming from the lips of a believer who knows what they carry inside of them. And the spoken word and what it activates, listen, is not just some vague spiritual influence. No. It activates heaven itself. And so I believe what we will see in this verse will change the way we think from this moment on about every word that leaves our mouth. Amen. Here is where the disconnect now has crippled the church for generations. Most Christians understand that angels exist. They accept the general concept that angels serve God and occasionally intervene in human affairs. But they treat angelic activity as something mysterious and unpredictable and entirely at God's discretion. They believe that angels show up when God decides to send them, and that the believer has no role in the process except to pray and hope for angelic intervention. And this understanding, while it sounds humble and it sounds reverent, is directly contradicted by Psalms 103 and verse 20. Because Psalms 103 and verse 20 does not describe angelic activity as random or mysterious or entirely independent of the believer's participation. No, it describes it as responding to a specific stimulus, and that stimulus is something the believer, we as believers, control. And sadly, the results of this misunderstanding is devastating as believers go through their day speaking words of fear, words of doubt, and words that directly contradict the promises of God. And they never realize that their speech is directly connected to what happens or fails to happen in the heavenly realm on their behalf. Are you with me so far? And so they wonder why heaven seems silent, why they have not had their own personal breakthrough, why the angelic assistance they read about in the Bible does not seem to materialize in their own life experiences. And the answer to these is not that God is withholding anything, Sister Norm. The answer is that the mechanism described here in Psalm 103 and verse 20 has not been activated. Not because it's broken, but because the believer does not know what activates it. Understand with me that the church, and that's us, as the body of Christ, it's not this building, we're the church. So we as a church have angels then assigned to us that have never been given a single assignment. Now we all know Sister Lydia. I think the Lord looked down and He said, she's going to need more than one angel. So there's a lot going on in her life. And so we're just going to go and send a company with them. Okay. So they stand ready, they stand willing, watch this, they stand equipped with the power of heaven, stay with me, but they have not been activated because the believers they are assigned to have not spoken the word. And without the word on the believer's lips, the angels have no command to execute. And that's the problem stated as simply as it can be stated. The angels are not absent. They're there. But guess what? They're just unemployed. And that's not by God's design. But by, watch this, but by the believer's silence. So now, let's open up this verse itself and let's see exactly what it says. Because the precision of the language is extraordinary. Again, Psalm 103:20, Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. All right. We're going to take it piece by piece because every phrase contains a revelation. Here's the first part. Bless the Lord, ye his angels. These are not general spiritual beings. These are God's angels. He created them. They belong to God, and they serve God. We find in the Garden of Gethsemane, before Jesus was arrested, Jesus said he could have brought down, he could have sent down, 12 legions of angels. That's 72,000 angels. And come and rescue him. But that's not what he did. He chose not to do that. They are under his direct authority. And guess what? There's thousands and thousands of angels. Too many to count. In fact, when you read Hebrews 12, it talks about an innumerable company of angels. So they're not independent agents making their own decisions about when and where to act. They operate under a chain of command. And that chain begins at the throne of God. That means their activity is governed by divine order, not by random spiritual impulse. When they move because something has triggered their mandate. They are disciplined and they are obedient and responsive to one thing and one thing only, the authority of God's word. Second part, bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength. The Hebrew word here is gabor, which means mighty, powerful, a warrior of extraordinary capacity. You got to understand, these are not little gentle chubby cherubs with golden curls floating on a cloud, holding a harp and a bow and arrow, hunting love bugs on the earth. No, these are warriors of unimaginable power. If you get a chance, you Google warrior angels. And I'm telling you, you're going to see some pictures there that are powerful. And it's the same kind of angel that destroyed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers in a single night, as recorded in 2 Kings 19. It's the same kind of angel that rolled away the massive stone from the tomb of Jesus while Roman soldiers fell down like dead men, fainted. The same kind that opened the prison doors for Peter in Acts 12 while the chains fell off of his wrist. And it's the same kind that opened the prison doors for the apostles in Acts chapter 5 of our text that we read a few moments ago. These angels excel in strength. They're not limited by the limitations that govern the physical world. They operate in the realm of divine power, and they are, watch this, they are assigned to you and me. Third part, bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength. It says they do his commandments. So we see they carry out assignments. They execute orders. They are not passive observers of human affairs. They are active agents who fulfill the commandments of God. But now here is where the revelation intensifies, because the question arises. How do they know when to act? How do they know which command to execute and when? So the answer is right here in this final part of this verse. Fourth part. Bless ye the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments. And here's the key that unlocks everything. Here it is. Hearkening unto the voice of his word. hearkening. The Hebrew word is shamayah, which means to hear, to listen attentively, to be on an active alert for a certain or a specific sound. These mighty, powerful angels are listening, and they're not waiting for a for a general signal. I'm sorry. They are listening for something specific. Well, what are they listening for? The voice of His Word. Not just the voice of God thundering from heaven, but the voice of His Word. Meaning, wherever God's Word is being spoken, wherever it is being voiced, wherever it is being declared with faith and authority, the angels hear it and they respond. Praise God. They are tuned to the frequency of God's Word. And when that Word enters the atmosphere through the mouth of a believer, watch this, it registers on the angelic radar and activates the response. Now, I don't want to burst anybody's bubble, but the angels are not listening for your opinion about the situation at hand. And they are not listening for your emotional assessment of the present crisis. Your angel is listening for the Word of God from your lips. And that is why the Word of God must be spoken. It must be voiced aloud, declared, and released into the atmosphere with your lips before the angels can ever act on it. Because a silent believer is a believer with an angelic army that can only stand idle. But a speaking believer, meaning one who confesses the Word out loud, is a believer with an army in motion. Again, a silent believer is a believer with an idle angelic army. And that should shake every Christian out of their quiet, passive, wordless devotion and move them then into an active, word-based, vocal declaration every single day of their lives. Now, let's connect this to the New Testament and show that the principle of Psalms 103:20 is not limited to the Old Covenant. Here we go. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14. Here's what the writer says. Are they not all ministering spirits? Talking about the angels. Sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. What did he say? All ministering spirits sent forth to minister for the heirs of salvation. Who are the heirs of salvation? We are. That's you. That's us. That's us-ins. As born-again, spirit-filled, spirit-led believers. The angels are not merely assigned to God's general purpose. A lot of them are. But these are specifically assigned to serve those who have inherited salvation through the new birth. And their service is activated by the same mechanism described in Psalms 103, verse 20, which is the voice of God's Word. When you, as an heir of salvation, speak the Word of God out loud. Tony and Becky, I thought of you when you are reading and speaking the Word of God out loud together early every morning while everybody else is still snoozing. You are providing the frequency that the angelic realm is tuned to receive. So let's consider the implications for your daily life. When you wake up in the morning and you declare, watch this, this is the day which the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Psalms 118:24. Here is what happens. the angels assigned to you hear the voice of God's word, and they begin to execute the corresponding reality of that word. And you can rest assured they're going to see that rejoicing and gladness is what rules your day. Not worry, not anxiety, not fear. When you declare over yourself and over your body, by His stripes I was healed. First Peter 2:24, and along with any other corresponding scriptures like that, the angelic realm hears the voice of God's word and responds with the healing authority of heaven. And you may or you may not see an instant manifestation, but don't you doubt that word of healing is being responded to and it's in the works. When you declare over your finances, my God shall supply all my need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus, Philippians 4:19. You have to know the angels hear the voice of God's word and they begin to move provision into position on your behalf. We heard the testimony of that Wednesday night. This is not mysticism that we're talking about. This is the mechanism described in Psalm 103:20, operating in the life of a new covenant believer who has been given the authority of the name of Jesus and the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. Now that's worth shouting about. If Brother Kevin was here, it'd be worth stomping his boots up. Okay. But here is a sobering counterpoint that we have to address. If the angels are tuned to the voice of God's word, what happens when you speak words that contradict the word of God? What happens when you declare, well, I'll never get any better? Well, Pastor, it's the season for it. I can just expect to get it. I better go get my shot and all those boosters with it. What happens when you say, we're going to lose everything, I'm so afraid? What happens when you confess, God has forgotten about me, I just know it? The answer is that the angelic realm hears those words too. But those words do not carry the frequency of God's word. Are you hearing me? They carry the frequency of the enemy's narrative. And the angels cannot execute a command that does not come from the word of God. Oh, I hope we're hearing this morning. They are designed to respond to the voice of His word, not the voice of your fear, not the voice of your worry or your anxiety and your expectation of catching something. Amen. So understand then that every word of fear and doubt and defeat that you speak is not only failing to activate heaven on your behalf, it's wasting the breath that could have been used to speak the word and have the angels put in motion. Well, Pastor, under the circumstances, forget it. The angels aren't moving. Bless the Lord. I'm an overcomer. I'm more than a conqueror. Pow. There they go. They just heard that word. Listen, every word that leaves our mouth is either activating heaven or leaving it idle. There's no neutral speech for us as the believer. When we speak the word, heaven responds. When you speak fear, heaven waits. And the angels assigned then to your life stands at attention, ready to move, ready to act, ready to execute the commands of God. But they need the voice of His word to give them the orders. Amen? You are the commanding officer. That is your role, and your words are the orders. Watch this. Not to command the angels directly. We don't do that. We don't go looking for angels to talk to or converse with. But we speak the word of God. And when the angels are where the angels are designed, then to hear and to execute. Your role is to provide the voice. God's word provides the content, and the angels provide the execution. I'm going to say it again. Your role is to provide the voice. God's word provides the content, and the angels provide the execution of that word. Here's a metaphor that we could use this morning. The believer's confession is like a key in a lock. The lock is that angelic mandate. The key is the word of God spoken aloud. When you put that key in and you turn it, the doors opens and the angels go to work. Without the key, what's going to happen? The door stays locked. Not because God is withholding, but because the mechanism requires the spoken word to operate. God designed it that way. Not to limit us, but to empower us. He gave us the key, Brother Tony. He put it on our tongue. And every time we speak the word, we are turning the key that unlocks the power of heaven over our circumstances. Can you shout amen? He gave you and me the key and put it on our tongue. This is the location of our authority. Not in your thoughts, not in your feelings, on your tongue. In your mouth, in the spoken word that leaves your lips and enters the atmosphere where the angels are listening. Now, let's take this into the area of Scripture so we can see some examples of this operating in the lives of real people who activated heaven with their words. Very familiar, consider Joshua. Standing before the walls of Jericho, God gave him a word of instruction that really made no military sense out of it at all. He said, march around the city, blow the trumpets, and on the seventh day, you give a shout. Joshua 6:20 records that moment. So the people shouted, and when the priests blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat. What happened? The people shouted and the walls fell. The shout was the voice. The walls fell in response to the voice. Heaven responded. The angelic realm executed the command that was given voice by God's people. God said, shout. They shouted. And the angels did their job. The mechanism of Psalm 103:20, listen, was in operation thousands of years before David ever wrote that verse. Consider Elijah on Mount Carmel. He was surrounded by 450 prophets of Baal. The nation of Israel was watching. And after the false prophets had failed to call down fire despite hours of screaming and cutting themselves and working themselves into a frenzy, Elijah stepped forward. 1 Kings chapter 18 gives us a story. He records what happened. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel and that I am thy servant and that I have done all these things at thy word. What happens? Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and even the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. So Elijah spoke, he declared the word of the Lord, and heaven responded with fire. Not because Elijah screamed louder than the prophets of Baal. They had been screaming all day long. But because Elijah spoke the word, and heaven recognized the word. The angels hearkened to the voice of his word, and when they hear it, heaven moves with a power that will consume everything in its path. Praise God. Consider Paul and Silas. Very familiar story in the Philippian jail. Acts chapter 16 gives us a story. It says at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. The prisoners heard them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loose. What were they doing? They were praying and singing praise. Someone said they were singing some of the praises in Psalms. They gave voice to God's word in the darkness of a prison cell at midnight. And heaven responded with an earthquake that shook the foundations, opened the doors, and loosed the chains. The mechanism was the same. The voice of God's word was released into the atmosphere through prayer and praise. The angelic realm heard it, and the response was immediately dramatic and, yes, total. They didn't do it halfway. I believe we can read Psalm 91 and 11 even with a greater clarity. Amen. Read it when you can. Do we have verse 11 we can look at? I don't know if you've got it. Psalm 9. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Hallelujah. Understand with me, this is not ancient history that has little or no relevance to your life. I need you to hear me. This is the same mechanism that operates today in your bedroom, in your prayer closet, in your car, in your kitchen, on your job, floating in the backyard, in your pool, sitting on your back porch. It's wherever you open your mouth and speak the word of the living God. Hear me in this. You do not need to be nor desire to be an Elijah to move heaven. You do not need to be or nor desire to be an Apostle Paul. You just need to be a born-again believer who knows the word, speaks the word, and trusts the working of the word that God has put in place. Psalm 103 and verse 20 does not say the angels hearken to the voice of the prophet's word, nor the apostle's word, or the evangelist's word, or the pastor's or teacher's word. It doesn't say that. It says the voice of his word. And his word is his word no matter who speaks it. When you speak it, it carries the same authority as when Elijah spoke it. Because the authority is not in the speaker, it's in the word. Would you look at somebody and say, it's in the word? Woo, I'm ready to shout. That's liberating to know that. You do not have to be a spiritual giant with a big healing ministry. You do not have to have decades of ministry experience. All you need is to have the Word of God in your mouth and the willingness to speak it out. Out loud. and heaven will respond to the word with the same power it has always responded to, because the word has not changed. Amen. The angels have not changed, and the mechanism has not changed. There's just at times they've had to add a few more for Lydia. They say, we need help today because we know that there's going to be somebody cut her off, and we don't want them to knock their lights out. So you're going to have to... There you go. The only variable is you and me. And today that variable is being activated. The angels have not changed. The mechanism has not changed. And here's the truth that should change the way we use our mouth and move our lips for the rest of our life. Heaven is not distant. Heaven is not unresponsive. Heaven is not waiting for us to reach a certain level of spiritual maturity before it acts on your behalf or my behalf. Heaven is listening right now. The angels assigned to you and to me are on active alert at this very moment. They stay on what? DEFCON 5, I think, somewhere. The highest alert. Tuned to the frequency of God's word, waiting for the voice that activates their assignment, Brandon. And the voice they are waiting for is yours. Again, not a pastor's voice, not a prophet's voice, yours. Because you're a born again, spirit-filled, word-equipped heir of salvation, Brother Tony. Praise God. And Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14 says the angels were sent forth to minister for you. So the mechanism is in place. The army is ready. The word has been written. And the only missing component is the voice. It's your voice. It's my voice speaking the word, declaring the promises of God. Confessing the truth of who you and I are in Christ and what belongs to us through the new covenant. And the moment you speak it, heaven moves. Listen now, the greatest untapped resource in the church is not money, it's not programs, it's not buildings, it's not human talent. It is the angelic host that has been assigned to the body of Christ and sadly has been standing idle because the body of Christ has not spoken the word. Hear me now. The day the church as a whole opens its mouth and begins to declare the word of God with faith and authority and consistency. Listen, that will be the day the world sees the book of Acts repeated on a scale that will dwarf anything the first century ever witnessed. The day the church opens its mouth, that is going to be the trigger, and that is the catalyst. Not a new revival, not any greater anointing. We've got the anointing. But the simple, deliberate, consistent act of believers speaking the word of God out loud. And then be obedient to what He tells you to do. And when that happens, heaven does not merely stir. Heaven moves with precision. It moves with power. And it moves with a force that no circumstance on earth can resist. And guess what? That's when we see miracles, signs, and wonders. So why don't we determine to let the single verse, Psalms 103 and 20, become the governing principle of our daily speech. The angels that excel in strength are hearkening. They're listening. They're tuned in. They're waiting for the voice of God's Word. And that voice is meant to come from your mouth. What do you think would happen then when you begin to pray every day, Acts 4:29? Brandon alluded to it. Listen to what it says. "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings." Speaking of the enemy that wants you to stay quiet. "Grant unto thy servants." Who is that? That's us. "That with all boldness they," or "we, may speak thy word." Amen. Woo! All right, here's what happens. Look at verse 31. "And when they had prayed," "the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." So here, as I finish up, here's the essence of my message today. Here's where the rubber meets the road, if you please, for every one of our lives. Here it is. Every time you speak the word of God over your health, over your finances, over your family, over your future, over your very identity in Christ, watch it, you are providing the signal that activates the most powerful force in the universe outside of God Himself. And every time you speak words of fear and doubt and defeat, you are leaving that force idle while the enemy advances uncontested. Don't let that happen. Let's not let that happen in our lives. Remember, the choice is ours, Sister Nora. We can speak it out or we can stay idle. "Well, I just don't want to make waves. I want to just..." Yeah, and it's going to be the rest of your life. The mechanism is God's, and the mechanism works perfectly every time it is operated according to its design. Just as the Bible tells us to keep ourselves or guard our heart, we need to guard our lips as we would guard a weapon, because guess what? They are the weapon. The mightiest weapon the believer possesses is not a prayer closet or a theological argument. It is that mouth that is filled with the Word of God and a heart filled with His Spirit. So let's speak the Word. Speak it out loud. Speak it over every area of your life. And let the angels then do what they were created to do. And that is to execute the commands of God that you have given voice to. Stay full of the Spirit. Amen. Not full of wine, full of the Spirit. How about the new wine? Speak the word. Let the angels execute. That's the design. That's the system. And it's available to you and to me right now. Today, in this very moment, heaven is listening. What are you going to say? Remember, the tongue in the mouth of a born-again believer, a new creation in Christ Jesus, is that weapon of divine authority that is activating the manifestation of Psalms 103 and verse 20. By conscious, deliberate, faith-filled declarations. And as you begin to speak with that awareness, you have to remember that heaven is listening and waiting to respond. Can you worship the Lord with a hand clap right now? Thank you, Lord. Let's all stand together. Thank you, mighty God. Makes me want to watch what I say, Brandon. I confess to the Lord, sitting in my chair early this morning. "Lord, you see what I said yesterday to them dogs as they brought the mud in Where's Michelle? I'm going to need her this week. So, Lord, you see every word that I've spoken, that was not of you. Negative words. And I can't do a thing about it. I just ask you, Lord, to help me that from this moment on, I'm going to do my best to speak only your word. Amen. Life, health, and peace, rest. Amen. Everything. Father, I thank you today. I thank you for your word. Help us to be sensitive to your voice, hungry for your word. And Lord, I thank you for what lies ahead. Lord, we don't know what's going on. We don't know what's going to happen in all the chaos and all the mess going on in the world. But Lord, we know that what was talked about today, as we make room for you in our lives, and that we learn to speak only your word, everything's going to be okay. It's going to work out. We're going to stay victorious. We're going to walk and not faint. Hallelujah. So Lord, I thank you. I speak blessings over this body of people today. I thank you that it's not a coincidence, those that are here today. So Lord, I just ask you to touch each and every person here. Lord, as we are together maybe with family this weekend, Lord, I thank you. Be with us. Speak to our hearts. And we give you the praise. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I love you.